Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to WordPress Event Talk, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Today we have Michelle Frechette as guest host, chatting with Sarah Kornblum and Ryan Bracey, all three from the organizing team for this year's WP Accessibility Day. You'll not only hear about the event, but you can expect some great conversation around the topic as well. So let's listen in.
Well, I'm excited because I host a bunch of podcasts. This is my first time kind of hosting, guest hosting, on a Do the Woo podcast. So here we are today at WordPress Event Talk because the three of us are going to be working on a very important event coming up. So who is us? I'm Michelle Frechette. I am the Director of Community Engagement at Stellar WP. I'm also the Executive Director at PostStatus, but all of that takes a backseat today to the fact that I am one of the organizers for an incredible upcoming 24-hour event on accessibility called WordPress Accessibility Day, coming up October 9th and 10th. So who is the rest of us? I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourselves, and then we're going to talk, the three of us, about why WordPress Accessibility Day is so important. But over to Sarah. Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I am Sarah Kornblum. I have my own web design company, Two Dogs and a Laptop. And before coming into the WordPress space in the website world, I was a middle school special education math teacher. And so accessibility has a very important place in my heart because given the right tools, anybody can do anything they want to do. So that's why I am here today.
I love it. I do have one question, though. Does that mean you could never get another dog?
Right now, I actually have two fosters. So
so it's temporarily four dogs and a laptop.
So right now, it's four dogs and a laptop. The numbers change every once in a while now.
As long as the URL stays the same, it's all good.
That's right. The name doesn't change, but sometimes the number fluctuates a little bit.
Exactly. Oh, and joining us today, we also have Ryan Bracey. Ryan, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Ryan Bracey. I'm the Director of Web Development and User Experience at an agency called Second Melody, based in New Jersey. And then I am also an organizing member of WordPress Accessibility Day, which, as Michelle said, kind of takes front row today.
I'm excited. This is my first time organizing this event. Ryan, this is your second year. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was a volunteer 3 years ago and an organizer the past two.
So this is more than. And Sarah?
This is my first time. I'm new to this space also.
So how have you been finding our organization? It seems like, you know, we had our first meeting at the beginning of the year. It's like, we have so much time, but now it's coming up very quickly.
It goes really fast.
It really does.
When we're talking in January, February, it seems like the event is so far away and now we're here and it's crunch time and it's coming up real quick.
It sure is. Comments, Brian?
No, the same. Yeah. I remember a bunch of our updates being, I'm just in a holding pattern right now. And then all of a sudden it was every day something new happening. So, but we're coming up to it now.
And now we need flight control because so much is happening all at once.
Yes.
Exactly.
So what are your roles within the organizing team? Sarah, what are you doing?
I am helping June with social media. So I've been doing a lot of the social media posting. She does most of it. I'm just here for moral support and backup. But it's a lot. And I don't know how any one person does it on their own, which is why there's a team of us, right? Because it's not possible to do all of this. It's become such a big day that you need as much help as you can get.
Absolutely. It would be like seven full-time jobs if everybody was... Absolutely unlikely that one person could pull any of this off all by themselves. But if anybody could, it probably is Amber or Joe, but we'll talk about them in a little while.
Yeah.
Ryan, what's your role on the team?
And I think Amber and Joe did it by themselves for a while there too. So
probably.
I am the team lead for the speakers team. So my role this year has been setting or receiving speaker applications, reviewing those applications. Among other people on my team, we review all together, helping to make selections, coordinating with speakers, getting them all the things they need, getting them into our Slack workspace to talk with us, getting them ready for the event. So we're holding some practice sessions as we lead up. So just pretty much everything that goes on with the speakers is coming through me. And then, Michelle, what are you doing the whole day?
Yeah. So yeah, 24 hours of programming is all but on your shoulders. I know you have a team. We all work together.
And then day of, we'll just be coordinating with speakers, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not just me, a whole team behind me.
A whole team, for sure. You asked what I do. I am the team lead for marketing. So I have been doing things like begging people like Bob to let us have an episode of his podcast so that we can talk about things. But we've also had a lot of great team members out on podcasts and doing webinars for different hosting companies and other companies so that we can try to get the word out as much as possible. Which brings me to my next question. Why is web accessibility so important? Why should people attend a day of 24 hours? And we don't expect you to listen to all 24 hours live. So I'm going to put that caveat in there right now. But why is it important for people to learn more about web accessibility, especially if they have no disabilities of their own? Ryan, what are your thoughts?
So a lot of thoughts, but I'll try to keep it short. So I've been involved in this group and this space for a few years now. Came across it probably early 2016, 2017, somewhere like that. I started to become aware of accessibility. I think a lot of people, that was kind of the year it started to hit everyone's sphere. And as I dove into it, you start out by thinking it's just catering to people who live with disabilities. But as you really start to dive in, you realize that as you go through the exercises of making a website more accessible, you make it more usable for everybody coming to your site. Everybody who visits can benefit from an increased focus on user experience, better contrast of colors, more functional UI components, all of these things, more structured heading schema. Like, all of this makes your site a lot easier to use, not just for people with disabilities, but for everybody. So by focusing on accessibility, you end up putting out a much better product, which I think is really great. And at the end of the day, you're also making something that anybody on the internet can use or anyone in the world can use, which is how it should be anyway. And I believe there's a Tim Berners-Lee quote where he says that the internet is for everybody. So accessibility is just a nice way to get there.
Oh, I like that. Sarah, when we talk about accessibility, I know you and I echo everything that Ryan just said. I don't know if you have any other things to add to that, but we often hear, in addition to whatever else you're going to add, we often hear that accessibility means a compromise in design and aesthetic. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't think accessibility means a compromise in design and aesthetic, in that if your design is not able to be viewed by most people, what's the point of the design? And so if you feel like it's a compromise in the design, then the design's not a good design to begin with. And so I feel like if accessibility just means that everyone can use it, and it doesn't matter what their background is, and it doesn't matter anything that's going on else in their lives, it's just everybody can use it. And again, going back to my teaching background, when I would do things to help certain students in my classroom, all of the other students in the classroom also asked for those things to help them, because it made it easier for everybody, not just for certain students. And so it made the material that I was teaching accessible for all, not just accessible for the students who needed it. And so I feel like that's accessibility in websites too. And it's something that is so overlooked, because if you don't need it, you don't even think about it. And so Accessibility Day just puts it on people's radar and starts the conversations that we need to be having anyways.
When you talk about that, it reminds me of, and I know this is not something I just thought of, this is one of those things people talk about when they say how accessibility is a feature that helps everybody, is that when curb cuts, you know, really started to be required for wheelchair users, of which I am one, so I appreciate a good curb cut, it also made it easier for people pushing strollers. It made it easier for people with push carts. And if you have a dolly, so you don't have to try to jump a curb to use those things. It's easier for people who have low mobility that aren't using wheelchairs. So if you can't lift your leg high enough, you're walking with a cane or a walker. So curb cuts actually benefit so many people, not just people using wheelchairs. Is that not also true of accessibility features on the web?
No, definitely.
So true. And I feel like those little plates, I don't know what they're called, the plates with the bumps on them on the curb cuts, where you, so you know that there's a curb coming up, right? That a street crossing is coming up. Those are meant for people with vision impairments. However, if you're on your cell phone texting or like not paying attention as you're walking and you hit one of those, you're like, oh, there's a street coming up. Maybe I should look up, right? And so it's helpful for everybody in the general public, not just for people with vision impairments.
Absolutely. Ryan, you had something to add to that?
I love pulling it back to those real world examples like that. It really brings it home that, yeah, when we're talking about accessibility, it's everything. The web is just an extension of that.
Mm-hmm. I like to talk about, so, you know, I mentioned I'm a wheelchair user. I walk around my house, but as soon as I get outside of, you know, more than 20, 30 feet, I need accessibility. And so I like to liken it to the example of if I come up to a building and there's no curb cut and I manage to get on the sidewalk, but there's no paddle to push to open a door electronically, I cannot access that building. The same thing happens for people who have disabilities on the web if your site isn't accessible. So if I can't get into your site, if the tabbing isn't working, if the screen reader's not accurate, all of those things make it impossible for me to access your website in the same way that somebody with a wheelchair can't access stairs, for example. So back to that real world example, right, Ryan?
Yeah, that's great.
Exactly. And there are so many people who need the help.
Yeah.
That you're losing those customers to your website because if somebody can't access it, they're leaving, right? If you can't get into a building, you're not going to try to break down the door. You're just going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And we tend to think of people with disabilities as people born with disabilities, right? So somebody who's loses function in a tragic accident, for example. So they're blinded or they are born blind and those kinds of things. But the truth is that all of us are eyes. I'll say maybe all is a sweeping statement. Many of us, the great majority of people, will end up wearing glasses and having difficult vision as we get older. And I think that my generation and younger, like y'all, will find that happens even more rapidly because of our constant use of screens. That's just anecdotal. I don't have any evidence to that except my own eyes. But, you know, I'll be 56 soon, next month. And I now wear not only glasses for the computer, but I wear bifocals when I'm not at my computer. And so I wasn't born that way. That's because of years of screen use and getting older as I go. And so web accessibility can only help our generations as we age up into needing bigger fonts and better contrast and those kinds of things too.
Now that's a really good call out too. And if anyone ever reads the Microsoft Inclusivity Handbook, it's excellently written, but they have an entire section that talks about the categories of user impairment, which goes into visual impairment, hearing impairment, motor impairment, cognitive impairment. But then it also breaks it into temporalities, which goes into there are some people with permanent disabilities who are born that way, or maybe someone became an amputee later in life and now they have a permanent disability. But you can have a temporary disability too. If you break your arm, now you have a motor disability. If you're a new parent and you're breastfeeding a child, you can't use one of your arms, so you have a temporary motor disability. There's also situational disabilities. I, for instance, live on a train track, so once an hour, I can't really hear anything. So,
true.
But yeah, so when you make your website more accessible, you're helping everyone. And even situationally, if you're in public, in a public space, and you can't listen to your phone on full volume, but there's captions, you can continue to watch videos. So
I like how you were talking about situational and temporary disabilities, because I feel like those two pieces are so overlooked. What Michelle was talking about with permanent disabilities, that's generally what people think about when they think about people with disabilities. But there are so many times that there are either situational disabilities or temporary disabilities. And we could all just use a little bit of help sometimes. If you're on the subway, you can't be listening to something on full volume. You need those captions, or you need some sort of headphone set to help you hear, right? But you need something, because otherwise you're not going to be hearing that video that you're trying to watch.
Exactly. Yeah.
And every time you start to consider those, it increases the number of users that you're reaching when you make your site accessible. So
exactly.
I live in a condo that was built in 1988. Every door handle is just a door handle. It's just a knob, a doorknob. And I walk with a cane. So if I have something in one hand and my cane in the other, I have to put something down to grab that doorknob and turn it. I just ordered brand new handles that are like levers, right? So that as I go down, if I want to open, because I keep my bedroom locked, or not locked, but closed, so I don't have cats in there at night, right? So when I get to that door, I want to be able to hit it with my elbow and access the door. Simple, simple little thing, right? So are my doors accessible to me now? They are, but could they be better accessible? Absolutely. And I think those are some of the nuances that we look at with web accessibility too.
You just have to be careful you don't make them accessible for your cats, right? Because the cats can also sometimes open the levers.
Yeah, exactly. I will definitely pay attention to whether they learn how to do that. Especially if I have guests in the restroom, right? That would be like, uh-oh, but...
It's like living with a dog. You all go together.
Exactly. You always have an audience.
Always. That's good. I love that the door example. I think they're called Norman doors, any door that's difficult to use. And it's like a massive user experience concept of, I think it was Donald Norman presented the idea in the 90s of doors that are confusing or hard to use. His example being, you don't know if to push or pull a door when you walk up to it and it's not clear. And even your example too is just... It's not very easy to use all the time.
Exactly.
Something as simple as a door. Yeah.
We're getting into your car with all the keyless entry now. I never take my car key out of wherever I have it. I don't even know where it is most of the time. And that was always like part of getting into the car was like finding your key. Where was it? In a pocket? Was it in your bag? Was it over here? Was it? Where was it? And now I just walk up to the car and I can open the door and it makes it so easy.
I need one of those cars. I don't have that yet.
You need the one where you can wave your hand in front of it and it will open for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh my goodness. My next car is going to have so many new features. But anyway, let's bring it back to WordPress Accessibility Day. So what, Ryan, you are the speaker wrangler, lead speaker organizer, like all what to put it in WordCamp talk, speaker wrangler. Mm-hmm. What are some things that we can look forward to that day on the schedule?
Oh boy. This is a hard question for me because I feel like I can't...
Start with the keynote.
I know, I was going to... I love all my speakers equally. They're all fantastic.
I know, they're awesome.
I'm so excited about all the different topics that are going to be talked about.
That's a good... I'll start with the keynote and then go into topics because I think that's a good way to talk about it. But very excited for our keynote speaker this year. It is Lainey Feingold. She's a disability rights lawyer. She's going to be coming to talk to us about what the legal landscape surrounding web accessibility looks like right now. There's a lot going on in that space this year, especially. There's a lot of European laws coming out. So it's very in flux, and she's going to come in and kind of talk about what that landscape looks like. Lainey herself has been involved in accessibility for decades now, I think since the early 90s. One of her best accomplishments is if you've ever used an ATM and you notice there's Braille on the little keys, that was because she spent a lot of her career petitioning Congress, writing, helping to frame these laws, really pushing for accessibility in the real world. And as we've grown into a more digital society, she's kind of helping with that too. So she is our keynote. She will be the first speaker kicking off the whole entire Accessibility Day. So make sure if you attend that one, that's going to be a good one to hear. And then, was mentioned, there's a lot of really good topics this year. So if you're a pro in accessibility, if this podcast is the first time you've ever heard of accessibility, we have a talk for you. We have things that range from beginner to intermediate to expert, things that cover content creators, designers, developers, product managers, team managers. So anything you could need to know in the world of accessibility, we probably have a session for you, and you can go look at those at 2024.accessibility.day/schedule. It's all up right now. You can also register at /register. So that's up as well. But what are some of the things you guys are excited to hear? so I don't have to choose one.
I was going to say,
the pressure's on.
Sarah, Ryan doesn't have a favorite child in this race. So
I know.
What are some of the topics you're excited to hear?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many of them that I want to be able to stay up for 24 hours so that I can hear them all. Because I feel like if I'm not there live, then it's not the same kind of, it's not the same kind of effect, right? Because it's always better to be in the room when it happened. And if you miss it, it's not as good. But I don't know. I want to see them all. I'm like Ryan. I can't choose a favorite. I don't know.
Well, as a non-developer, those are the talks that interest me the least, but I'm excited for developers to be able to hear. I am a content marketer for the most part, so the stuff that leads into content and design for content is I'm just super excited to listen to. But I, of course, will be tuning into all of them at some point in time. It is hard to not hear them all live, but we don't expect anybody to stay up for 24 hours straight. And so how do we accommodate that? Do you know? Tell us what we're going to do.
I do. So all of our talks are available on YouTube, I believe, the next day or very soon after. We are also striving this year to have them translated in as many languages as possible. So if any of the listeners out there speak another language and are interested in volunteering your time to a very nice cause and organization, please go to our site and volunteer to be a translation volunteer and help us get these videos in other languages.
That was a good plug for that.
Yeah. I know. I liked that. It sounds so it's almost like pre-recorded. He had that planned.
No, definitely wasn't on my checklist.
All of the talks while they're live will have live captioning by human beings. So there's less opportunity for mistakes. And then all of those transcripts will be available with the, I can't think of words today, the sessions when we're on YouTube as well. And we also have live ASL translation on screen. So this is all done through Zoom. So we'll have the ability to have that, I guess, picture in picture, if you will, of the ASL translator, interpreter, excuse my language today. It's Friday morning, you could tell. But we'll have and we do recognize that there is other sign languages in the world besides American Sign Language, but that is the one that we're going to be using for this event. And I've been busy. I don't know if you know this, Sarah. I've been busy recording all of the intros for every session so that when they are packaged up and put on YouTube, I will be the voice that says all of the things in front, introducing the speaker, and all of the thank yous for, I finished this one yesterday, Ryan, all of the thank nice. Yous for the sponsors and the outro. So,
wow, that's a lot of work right there.
The dulcet tones of Michelle Frechette.
You're going to be like one of those voice actors that we now hear everywhere.
Available on Fiverr later. No, not kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. I don't have time for that.
Not Fiverr. It's on Upwork. Don't.
See, this is how much I don't know or have time to take on extra projects right now. So, Sarah, tell us again, Ryan mentioned it a little bit, but tell people how they can register. How much does it cost for this online event? And what can they look forward to when it starts? Can you give us some of those details?
It is a completely free event. So don't miss out because it's going to cost you money. It's completely free, but you do have to register ahead of time. And I believe the registration link is 2024.wpx/register.
Yes.
Also, if you go to the Accessibility Day website, there's a big register button, so you can't miss it.
You can't miss it. And Bob assures me all of these links will be in the show notes. So if you are listening and you want to find that information, you can absolutely just go back to the Do the Woo podcast and all of transcript of today's episode, as well as all the links will be in there. So you can find out more information. I'm excited also because you can't see it because this is an audio podcast, but Sarah's wearing our t-shirt for this year, which says Focus. It's a feature, not a bug. WordPress Accessibility Day 2024. Do you all know the story behind the Focus, It's a Feature, Not a Bug?
We do, yeah. It's just a very fun developer joke. So
yeah.
A little nerdy if you're a developer.
But when that was made a feature, people started reporting it as a bug. Like, there's a box around my links. Why is the box when I tab, there's a box? It's like, well, it's a feature. It's not a bug.
And it's not a design flaw or an error in the design. It doesn't take away from the design. it enhances it so people can find the things on your website that you want them to find.
Yep. I still get that edit on almost every website to this day.
Too funny. Do you know, Sarah or Ryan, which one? How can somebody get one of those t-shirts? I love that when you register, you can get it. Do you know this?
I think if you make a donation at the time that you register, you get a t-shirt.
Right. There is a minimum donation for that, for sure.
I believe it's $50.
It is. If you register, $50. And so the cost of any donation that you make and all of our sponsorship as well goes to, obviously, we have to pay for the t-shirts. So that's part of it. But anything above the cost of the t-shirt, it all goes into running this event. So we do pay all of our speakers. We pay for the interpreters. We pay for the live captioning. We pay for all of the resources that we use on our website on an annual basis. None of us puts any money in our pockets. We have literally been doing this because we love the community. We love accessibility. And we have a heart for helping other people. Because that or we're crazy because it's been a lot of work. So maybe there's a tinge of that as well. I don't know.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
It would need a big staff if anybody was paid. There would be a big staff. And then it would probably cost money to register. But it's free.
Exactly. Any donations that are made, I don't think this applies to t-shirt because you're actually buying something, but any additional donations that are made are tax deductible because we are covered under an umbrella organization that we also give money back to, which is an accessibility organization. So it's really, it's all the money that comes in helps tremendously and keeps us doing all these things year after year. So yeah, I'm trying to think, is there any other big questions? Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. Schedule, how to volunteer, how to register.
That's the most important part, registration. So it is October 9th and 10th. It's a 24-hour event. Ryan, what time does it start? Because I don't have it up in front of me.
Yep. It starts at 1445 UTC, which for me, I'm in New Jersey. That's 1045 a.m. Eastern time.
Same for me.
Yep.
And me. I'm in New York. So. And then it continues towards, I know. One of the things that's exciting, Ryan, is that are all of our speakers from North America?
They are not, actually. This is perfect timing. Last night, put some stats together.
Cool. Well, lay them on us.
Yeah, let me pull this up real quick. So this year, we have...
Drum roll, please.
It's coming. Okay. We have speakers from 12 different countries, which is three more than we had last year, so... We are hearing from people all over the world. We obviously have speakers from the United States. That's still our largest, but we have made a very strong effort to branch out. We have a lot of European speakers. We have speakers from Africa, from Asia Pacific. So I think we have some speakers from Australia, Canada, South America. We are all over international, very inclusive. So you get to hear perspectives from other people. It's very fun.
I think I may be misquoting the number, but I think about 25% of our speakers also categorize themselves as disabled, which also I think is pretty cool.
I have all of these numbers as well.
Yay. Well, tell us, what are you holding back for, Ryan? Let us know what's going on.
Give us the statistics.
We have 37% of our speakers are male identifying, 57% are female identifying. We have 7% non-binary, 3% trans, 17% LGBTQ, 17% of our speakers are non-white identifying, and 23% of our speakers identify as living with a disability. So very diverse.
They all volunteered that information. And correct. So we have that directly from them, which I think is also an important point. We're not guessing at anybody's anything when it comes to that. Right.
What other numbers you got over there?
I do have that four of our speakers this year are first-time speakers. I've never spoken at any event, so that's very exciting.
That is exciting.
Oh, that is exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
We'll have to make sure we show up and give them extra support.
Exactly.
Ask good questions.
And that's a good point that you just made too, Sarah, is you can ask questions. This is a live event. All of these speakers are live while they're speaking. Nothing is pre-recorded. We do save the recordings for later, of course. But because it's through Zoom and we're doing it as a giant Zoom webinar, you can ask questions of the speaker and in the Q&A afterwards, while there's time, they'll be able to answer them.
Yeah, that's a very good call. So all of our events every session starts on the hour, every hour, but we're asking our speakers to limit their talks to about the 30 to 45 minute range so that we do have about 10 minutes at the end of each talk for question and answer. And then we give a little break in between the sessions. So if you need to get up from your seat, walk around a little bit, you can do that and really get energized to sit and watch our 24 hours full in one go. Take a couple power naps throughout the day. Yeah,
I'm going to try. We'll see how far I get.
I know I can do it. Or let's say I knew I could do it in high school and college. It's I been know. A few years, so we'll see how this goes.
Anyway. All-nighters are not friendly to your body after college.
Exactly. They weren't friendly then either. We just didn't
know. No, they weren't.
Any final thoughts on what's going on here for Accessibility Day? Ryan, what are your closing thoughts today?
Just that we're really excited this year, hoping to have a huge turnout. We already have a lot of people registered, so if you are interested, there is no limit on registration, by the way. You can go, it's not going to fill up. But yeah, just make sure if you have any interest in accessibility, like I mentioned, we have a talk, no matter where you are on your journey, something that you can find interesting and helpful. So make sure you go 2024.wpaccessibility.day/register. Go in, register. If you can help in any other way, if you can volunteer your time. We are looking for those post-event volunteers to help with translation. We will probably be kicking off next year's event in a few months. So if you want to be involved next year, go on, sign up, volunteer to be an organizer or volunteer. If you can donate, please go give us some money so we can continue to run this event and pay our speakers. But other than that, just excited to put it on and have anyone who wants to come out and participate.
Absolutely. Sarah.
I am super excited for this event. This is the first time that I am going to be making it live. So I am so excited. The last couple of years, I've only been able to watch pre-recorded. But if you go and you look at the schedule, it will tell you next to the speaker or the title of the talk what level of accessibility it's for. So if you're a beginner, there are definitely talks that are geared towards people who are new in the accessibility world. And if you're somebody who's been here for a while, there are talks for you too, and they're all nicely labeled. So find something that interests you and come join us.
Absolutely. And while it's free, we do encourage you to register. So you will get the reminders to log in and to know when it is. And also you'll, you know, just get a little bit more information, links to the schedule, things like that, add it to your calendar. I'm excited. I can't wait. I can't believe it's coming up so quick, but hopefully we will see everybody there October 9th and 10th again, 2024.wpaccessibility.day for all of the information. I'm Michelle Frechette. I am so grateful to both of you as co-organizers. Thank you, Ryan, for joining me today. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you, Bob Dunn, for letting us take over one of their podcast spots to talk about this WordPress event on WordPress Event Talk. It's been great to chat with you all today, and we'll see everybody on October 9th. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yay.